And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared, even in Colombia, here on Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedom's Little Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Glenn Kripe, he's just throwing him to the wolves. No, Glenn, get your butt up there first. Glenn. Are you kidding me? You just feed them to the wolves like that? What kind of crap is that? You know? All right, go ahead. Now, what were we doing? Who are we talking to? Where are you at? And how do you say cacao? Where are you at?
Cucuta.
Cucuta. All right, Cucuta.
Not Cucutown, Cucuta.
Got it. All right. Now, what we need to do is go ahead and make sure that you introduce who we're going to be talking to. So go ahead and tell us who we're talking to, what you've been doing of late, what you're doing today. We got a couple hours. Prep it. Just don't feed them to the animals here, man. You know, help us out. All right, go ahead and tell us what's going on.
Okay, it's great to see you again and hear you. We have been in Venezuela. We've been in almost Venezuela. next time, we've been in Colombia for a week, we, meaning Kyle Varner and me. You probably remember talking to Kyle a couple of weeks ago from Italy. He was part of our group in Italy. This week, Jacek is not with us. He's not able to be with us. But Kyle and I, with our hosts, Maria, who is behind me, we visited five cities in Colombia, and we gave seminars ranging from 2 to 4 hours, sometimes with local guest speakers. And we just talked about the principles of free market economics and classical liberal thinking, similar to our programs at the English camps, at our Liberty camps. We're preparing for a camp in the spring, but you'll hear more about that shortly. So what I want to do is, unless you have
wait, I got some Glenn questions first before you go start. We got 2 hours here, man. Chill out. Relax, man. I took, you know, usually I have grandkids over and rerun and the Monday and kind of, and I'm chilling and, I wasn't going to have grandkids. So I got to like clean out my stuff, you know, and I got it all disassembled to go put, no, we got to get to talk to Glenn stuff. I'm like, all right. So it's okay. Going to be a relax. We're going to chill and kind of just get to know everybody. So you got 2 hours. Usually you try and cram it into an hour. That is, we got 2 hours so we can relax a little bit. Now what we're going to do is what I need to know, Colombia. You're usually in Europe. You've been in Asia, Africa, and I know you've had some students from Venezuela before, a gentleman from last year from the Arizona Project. What happened to him?
Yes.
Did he go back to Venezuela or did he stay in America?
Yes.
Kamala, she went back. Did she get married or something? You know?
No.
All right, give me updates, man. Go.
Yes, she did. Yes, Kamala, I got married, and I think she's living in Washington now with her new husband. But Jorge
Washington
is,
State?
Has a and. I'm not really sure where she is, but no, I think she's in Washington right now.
Okay, so she's not. She didn't go back and get arrested or anything.
Well, she did go back, but she avoided being arrested.
How?
Yeah, I don't know, because she managed to avoid talking, I guess.
Okay, that, yeah, you know, if we, as long as we marry you off, maybe that'll cure you, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, that was interesting. Okay, the gentleman from Venezuela, where's he at?
Yes, Jorge, he has applied for asylum in the States, and he travels, so I don't know where he is today or where he's based. Kyle probably knows that, but he's okay. I mean, he's safe. He's in the States. I believe some of his family are now in the States. I don't know if he has plans to return to Venezuela soon, but he's okay, and he's spending a lot of time traveling and giving talks.
Yeah, see, I bring these things up because, you know, advocating for freedom, you know, sometimes the governments, they don't like it none too much. You know, yeah, I'm just a student for liberty. Boom! You're not allowed, okay? So yeah, this is.
Are you talking about our local governments, or are you talking about foreign countries?
It's the same thing all over. That's my point, you know. So advocating for freedom is, you know, it's sticky business sometimes, especially in Latin America. So Colombia is on its way up, down, over. You know, the drug cartels control. They don't. They legalized, you know, drugs or not, or Venezuela going into and out of. So give me the framework of what we're dealing with in Colombia. You have all these people there.
Yes, I have a lot of helpers here who can answer your questions. I'm learning a lot this week. And I'm also learning how lucky we are in America in so many ways. So that's,
you know,
a cliche.
I know that's one thing. True. Everybody is like, Mary, it suck until you go somewhere else, you know? And it's just, we're trying to keep it from being like that. All right. All right. Go ahead and put Kyle on. Yes. You're stressing on me, man.
I need Kyle's help with this because he knew all of these people before. I knew Maria before, but Kyle knows everyone better than I do, and he also speaks Spanish, so he can help with any translation that's needed.
All right. Thanks, Glenn.
Well, so we're here in Cúcuta. This is a very special city because this is the portal to Venezuela, and this is the place that all the Venezuelan refugees, and keep in mind we're at 6 million refugees right now. This is where they all come through. You leave Venezuela, your first stop is Cúcuta. So you try to, you know, do a little work here, get a little money, and then go somewhere else, maybe where the economy is a little better usually. So I've been working here on and off doing volunteer medical work. So I do liberty advocacy, and I do medical work as well. So I've gotten to know Cúcuta, I've gotten to know a lot of people, and I've been, for the last couple of years, very active in supporting Movimiento Libertario Venezuela, and I've made a lot of really good friends who are in Venezuela, and I want you to meet some of them, because they have some amazing stories to tell. And maybe we should start with my friend Jesus.
Let me explain Maria.
Alejandro Londoño is the director of Movimiento Libertario Colombia. So we have...
we'll be throwing out these Spanish words without us knowing what they mean, you know? So in English, the translation of the organization is what?
Libertarian Movement of Colombia.
Okay, so there's a Libertarian Movement of Colombia. When I talk to anyone from south of the border, hell, anywhere around the world, liberal is libertarian. You know, so
right.
How do you make the distinction between what is and is not a libertarian by saying liberal, and they know you mean what? You know, Adam Smith and Ayn Rand or something? I mean, what does that mean to people there?
No, here in Colombia, we have a special situation because we have an actual liberal party, but that liberal party is actually the first leftist party of Colombia. So in Colombia, liberal, it actually means progressive and from the left. So that's why we need to name ourselves libertarian in order for people to understand that we defend.
Okay, so different countries have different
ideas of liberty.
Got it. Okay, so now you're actually, instead of using liberal like maybe Mexico, you would say libertarian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
the libertarian movement
in Latin America, in general, it's best to say libertarian than liberal.
Got it. Okay. So libertarian in Colombia. When we come back, stay there, Maria. I want to, you know, finish this conversation with you and Kyle, because we need to understand when you say a movement, moving whom to where, you know, for what, you know, this is going to be in Colombia. What was it before? And you seem young. I remember Colombia being. I don't know, not so stable. You know, it's kind of, we got movies and TV series and how it's depicted for us up here, but we don't really know. Rio, tell us. What Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary. I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
We're getting started. Well, this is good. I'm happy with this. But I, Maria, I want to go ahead and get through a little bit more of why libertarianism. How did you become a libertarian? What's the atmosphere there for libertarians? How much explaining do you have to do? What tools are you using? I mean, you know, there's so much that going in. Then you have, you know, they'll challenge any libertarian philosophy as a big, giant, massive horde of, I want to be free, leave me, you know, let me come in, you know, knocking on the door from Venezuela. I was in Panama, and there was a... God, it was about 5 years ago when they had, every 5 years they have elections in Panama. And talking to the people, the taxi driver and the gardeners and the maids and, you know, friends of friends and so on. I speak enough Spanish to find out where the bathroom is. But I, you know, asking them, I'm going, look, you know, what's this election all about? And one thing that was interesting, all the women, there was a, they were looking for, restrictions on Colombian women coming into Panama because they were too pretty.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
I know, that was amazing to me. I'm going, whoa, time out. What? Because why?
Well, they're corrupting all our men, and they're pretty, and they're with their wilds or whatever the hell was going on. So that was the big, I don't know who did the focus group on that, but that was, you know, amazing that they didn't want Colombian women coming into Panama because they were corrupting the men because they were too attractive. Well, then you had Venezuela women are considered to not, you know, be inherently ugly either. I mean, I'm not this. Going on an attractiveness scale or something was weird to me, you know? So I'm going, okay. So now we have Panama that, I mean, Venezuela is starting to invade and going into Colombia. Like, they were worried about Colombia coming into Panama. Now they got Colombia and Venezuela going into Panama. And now Colombia has Venezuela going into Colombia. So I'm just going, and the attitude and the philosophy behind and protection of is what? I have no idea. That's what you're going to tell us when we come back, okay? Can you guys hear me? The connection's going in and out quite a bit.
Okay.
All right. The connection's going in and out a little bit. We may, in the next segment, try and reconnect if we have to. But sometimes it's kind of hesitating. And when Ernie's talking to important people around the world, the man always does that crap anyway. So.
Yeah,
it's cutting out. Glenn, can you call back?
Yeah, we can definitely call back. I just turned off the video to try to make the audio better.
All right, let's do that. Here we go.
Society.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. What we're going to do is we're going to turn off the video, and I'm going to go ahead and leave the so that we get that good bandwidth here, because it's kind of cutting in and out, and I don't want you to miss what they're saying. But we got graphics up here that, you know, from Language of Liberty and a lot of their functions, so we can do that. Now, Maria is one of the activists there. She's, how old are you, Maria?
I'm 26 years old.
Okay, 26. So you're not a kid, but you're not like, you know, a sage old gray-haired, I've been doing this for 30 years kind of person. So I'm wondering, at 26, God, a decade ago, you were 16. So I'm wondering, yeah. Colombia, Where do you think you are, where you've come from? What's the freedom quotient there? Do you have a fear of Venezuelans coming there to get away from the socialism there? Is Colombia socialist, capitalist? How do you, tell me everything. Go.
Okay, Ernest. First of all, thank you so much for having us in your program. Well, so, you know, I find Ideas of Liberty about 4 years ago. One of my professors at university made me read Marx and Hayek and compare the ideas, and I have to decide which was the
Marx
best.
Marx and Hayek, right?
Marx versus Hayek. So I clearly chose Hayek, and I just fell in love with the ideas. I thought I was the only one, but then I found the Libertarian Movement of Colombia, and I just started working with them, you know, doing podcasts, doing YouTube videos, doing events, and you just start growing in this type of organizations. And about a year ago, they chose me as the director. So we've been doing a lot of work.
Okay, director of what?
Director of the Libertarian Movement of Colombia.
Okay, now the Libertarian Movement of Colombia means what? A meetup in Bogota? You know, it means a party. It means a institution, a 501c3 equivalent of tax approved, got a piece of paper from the government. I mean, what does that mean?
Well, we're not quite a party yet, because in Colombia, to become a political party, you need to go through a lot of barriers. And many of those barriers means paying money to the government. And we're not willing to do that. So the Libertarian Movement in Colombia, it's a political movement of action. I like to think of us that way. And what we're doing right now is trying to make Colombians more aware of liberty and trying to bring ideas of liberty to Colombia, because most people don't know that there's another option besides the classical right and the left, that is and socialism. So we're just trying to show them that there's another way to do things, and that way is through the ideas of freedom. So this year, what I've been...
All right, you cut out. I still got you there? You guys still there? Hello? All right, Donna, send them an email real quick. Let them know that they're off air. Oh, I got you back. You guys there now? Hello? Hello? Hello, hello, hello. They're going to try it again. I got you back. You got to turn on your mic.
Hi.
There you go.
Yeah, we're here. We're here.
Okay. So this is where I lost you and you left off was that you're trying to educate the people of Colombia. How are you doing that? You don't have to do it through politics. You can, you can't. I mean, do you have like a First Amendment right there? I get to say what I want without getting shot? Or nope, you say what you want and you didn't get a permission slip from the Crown, you get shot. I mean, you know, what is the atmosphere there?
No, I mean, the atmosphere is very friendly. I mean, we can, in Colombia, we have freedom of speech. I can go around towns and speaking about liberty.
Okay, wait, right there, freedom of speech. What do you mean freedom of speech? We have freedom of speech. Is there a document? Is there like a Bill of Rights? Is there a law? What do you mean you have freedom of speech?
We have it by the Constitution, like a Bill of Rights, so it's in the Constitution. So no one can come and like criticize me or attack me because of my political or religious views.
Okay, they say that in the United States,
like,
too.
Go out in public and...
Okay, now they say that in the United States, too, and it happens all the time. Okay, so I'm just wondering what the culture, the atmosphere, for you to go and you just rent a place, you have 100 people show up, and you're telling freedom, and you're not worried.
No, I mean, you get a bit of backlash, especially when we go to media, to national media, to the debates. Some people will criticize us via Twitter, and there's always the hater, the extreme leftist guy that wants to criticize freedom and that tells me that I'm a are you there? Yeah, that I'm a fascist and the type of thing that you always see in social media. But no one has ever, and I don't think that will ever happen, come and attack us directly, except in social media. So it's fairly fairly secure to defend ideas of liberty in Colombia. And many people are craving that in Colombia right now and in Latin America.
Okay, now when you have a good example of how things could go bad and why in Venezuela, are you embracing them and encouraging them and teaching them and then sending them back? Are you trying to incorporate them into Colombia? Do the Colombians say, I can't believe you're even talking to these Venezuelans? I mean, I'm wondering what that relationship right on the border there is. Are you recruiting them? Are you sending them back with information? Are they getting integrated into Colombia and you're getting blamed for welcoming them in? What, you'll tell us what's happening there.
Well, in the libertarian movement in Colombia, we became a platform for Venezuelans, for Venezuelans, and we defend their liberty, and we're in this fight together. So yeah, you may see people like normal people like saying, "Hey, Venezuelans are invading Colombia," but from the libertarian movement, we tell them, "Hey, the situation that we have in Colombia with security and drug cartels and everything you were mentioned early can be solved if we solve Venezuelan issues. So we need to support the libertarian movement of Venezuela. We need to support Vente Venezuela. We need to keep teaching." And that's when the liberty, language of liberty comes in that way, because in Cúcuta we held this tour, this camp, precisely for many Venezuelans to come and to meet Kyle and to meet Glenn, and so that we can give them tools to defend liberty in Venezuela. But we are also very welcoming to have them here in Colombia, because if something that Colombia can offer Venezuela is dignity and justice, and Colombia needs to grow economically in order to keep receiving all the people that are escaping from Venezuela in case that Maduro won't leave power. So yeah, we're very open, and we defend open borders, at least from the libertarian movement we do.
Okay, another question, a headline on Freedom's Phoenix today. Do you share a border with Brazil? Does Brazil go up against Colombia?
We share a border with Brazil, but we don't have an issue like a problem with Brazil.
Okay, well, the reason I bring it up is because Brazil, you know, they're saying, we're in a civil war, says head of Congress pro-gun faction. Now, this is something that was interesting because we had the girl from Russia, Maria Butiana, you know, doesn't matter. The main thing is they came into America and seen if they can get some kind of back-end relationship with some freedom activist people using the gun issue. So I'm wondering about, you know, yeah, there's a pro-gun party in Brazil. Sounds kind of libertarian to me. I don't know. Maybe yeah. There'll be something there. You know, we'll talk more when we come back about it. This is interesting. We're getting this kind of, you know, laid out for us to see what can be done with freedom. We'll be right back. Okay, go ahead and turn on your video and let's see what happens now. Did you guys, you called back, right?
Yeah, well, it disconnected and reconnected.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's see if we get a better connection this time. Go ahead and turn on the video. Let me see what's up.
Okay.
And he will give us a link. He puts the broadcast on his website. So we will have a link. I already have the link, actually.
Okay. Do you see us?
Yeah. I'm trying to set it up the way I want to set it up. Stop here, do that. Yeah, see, I'd like to do the split screen. Are you guys getting a split screen?
We are.
We're seeing you and us.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to do, you know, so we can have, let me get all straight and pretty here. Okay, this part is the important part to set the foundation for the Venezuelan guys. You know, I need to understand what the battle is and what the real battle is. In other places, you know, Glenn calls me from other places, you know, they're like freaking, you know, they got the drapes drawn in the basement of, man, I hope they don't come kill us. I mean, I just wondered, you know, how safe you guys are, you know, how much you guys are worried about if somebody's kicking in the door or they're tracking anything or, you know, so it just gives me an idea, kind of know where you're coming from. So you guys feel pretty safe, right?
I lost you there for a second.
You guys feel safe, right? I mean, it's not like somebody's ready to come kick in the door looking for some Venezuelans, right?
No. We're very safe here. Like, Colombia, we're safe. Yeah.
So how is day-to-day life there? You know, the politics, there's violence anymore? Is that taken care of? That hadn't been a big part of your life or what?
No, it hasn't been a. It hasn't definitely have been a part of my life. I mean, the violence ended with Uribe, President Uribe candidacy, and you don't see violence in cities anymore like before. Like you were scared that they will put a bomb outside
Why?
Your house.
Why is it there?
But it's not happening anymore.
Did they legalize marijuana and cocaine and heroin? Did they, you know, not fight in the drug war anymore? We don't care, or they killed every single terrorist there ever was, or why is it peaceful now?
I mean, in big cities it's peaceful, yeah, but in other territories, like in the jungle and that type of stuff and around the border, it's more violent, for saying so. But the thing is that the guerrillas, the FARC and the ELN, they moved to Venezuela because of Maduro is protecting them. So they're not like in the Colombian territory anymore, but they're still producing cocaine and marijuana and et cetera, et cetera. And that's the way they fund themselves, you know, that's the way they get money. And that's the way they do all the things that they're doing.
Okay, so it's kind of moved to Venezuela. That's what the deal is. All right. Yeah. All right, well.
And that's the problem. That's the main problem.
Yeah, they always need a cooperative government, don't they? All right. So where do you want to go now? You got kind of an understanding of what you're doing and everything, but I'm not really sure. I want to ask you one more question, and then we'll get Kyle. We'll go ahead and bring in someone else. But what I really need to know is why. You know, you're doing this. Why? Yeah. What made you libertarian? You got somebody gave you a Marx versus Hayek, and you go, whoa, I'm going to do something. Okay. Why? All right, when we come back, that's what we'll do. That's the question. Here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome, Adam, all the way to Colombia. You're right on the border with Venezuela. And you have a young woman. She's 26 years old. She was given an assignment or asked to read. We're going to compare Marx and Hayek. And you just for any young person that I was thinking, they go, yeah, this freedom thing, I vote that. I got to vote. Okay, I vote for that. No, you're not allowed to vote for that. Oh, okay. I just need to know. So this is, she's advocating for this. And then we have such a extreme, stark example right on their border. You know, I share a lot of history with Venezuela. Well, Venezuela young people are going, man, this sucks. We are so out of here. They go into Colombia. Do they find any support? Support of what? What are they trying to do? Do they even know what they're doing? You know, they got off their butt and left and kind of, you know, something. I'd be better somewhere. And you get it explained to them. And then what do they do with that information? Do they stay there, go throughout Latin America, come to the United States, or do they go back to Venezuela and fix it? So Maria's helping them. Why? Help them do what? Maria, tell me before we get to them. I want to know what your motivation is.
Well, my motivation is that I want to see our countries to be free and that liberty, it's day to day, like that you can actually live in freedom. Why will I defend liberty? Because it's my future. It's my country. And it's not only my country. It's also Venezuela. As you may know, Colombia has gone over 60 years of violence, and I'm tired of that. And I think the way to solve that is through liberty. And now we have Maduro, we have the regime in Venezuela, and he's only making things worse because people still believe that socialism works, and it doesn't work. And that's what we're trying to do here, because in Colombia there will not be peace until there's justice in Venezuela. And if we want justice in Venezuela, Maduro needs to leave the power. And as I was explaining to you before, guerrillas in Colombia are now in Venezuela, and they're under the protection of Maduro. They're actually the army of Maduro, and that's a huge problem. And people usually says, like, hey, Venezuela is no one else's problem. Colombia and the states need to do nothing there. And actually, no, I mean, because Venezuela is now a big part to achieve peace in Colombia. And in that regard, that's why we're defending liberty. And that's why we're with these amazing people from Venezuela telling the world that there's a better way, and that way is true liberty. And that we're here to fight, and that we will not rest until Venezuela is free. And until in Colombia, we have peace. So okay, that's why we're doing.
That's awesome. You checked off all the boxes. Very cool for you. But I got one question. When you say there without justice, there can't be. Well, I need to have that word justice defined. What do you mean justice?
I mean justice in the way that Maduro needs to leave power and the regime needs to pay for all the awful things they have done to Venezuela. Because here in Colombia, we have a peace treaty. I'm not sure if you know about it, but it pretty much just said that all of these guerrillas and all of these leaders of the guerrillas, they're very Marxist. They just got away with it. They didn't pay a single day in jail. They didn't pay for all the people that they murdered and all the damage that they did to Colombia. And what we're saying is that in Venezuela, that cannot happen. So we see many people saying that, hey, we need to go and die and have a conversation with Maduro. Maybe he'll leave the power if we talk to him. And I mean, they've tried that like 7 times, like go and talk to the regime.
You're calling for revolution.
Huh?
You're calling for revolution.
Yeah, a revolution in the good way. Like that Maduro needs to leave power.
Well,
and
Maduro,
he needs to pay for
I
his
guarantee
crimes.
Maduro ain't thinking a revolution in any way is good. Now, they ain't going to be a good revolution if he's not there.
Yeah, of course. And Maduro, Maduro won't leave the power because he's a nice person. We need to take him off power and bring liberty to Venezuela because otherwise they won't leave. I mean, they're living the time of their lives off.
Now, I understand, but, you know, what are you going to replace it with? Is it a new constitution or the old one they're just not abiding by to get rid of the power? I mean, what are you going to change it to?
Venezuela needs free elections, but for that to happen, the Chavism and Chavistas need to leave the power and need to be in jail. For example, people like Maria Corina Machado from Vente Venezuela can participate in a democratic election with all of her rights and in a secure way. Not what we've been seeing, that they just steal the elections.
Okay, no, I got it. All right. Kyle, help me out here. She's giving me the why she's doing it there and doing and kick butt and butt. Thank you, Maria. You know, I get it. But I tell you, now give me one of the guys that came from Venezuela and found her and went, oh, hell yeah, this is what I've been looking for. Give me one of those guys.
All right, well, let me introduce you first to Jesus Noria. Jesus, come. Jesus is a friend of mine. He's an activist with Movimiento Libertario Venezuela. You can see his T-shirt. Stand up and show him your T-shirt. Libertario Venezuela with the porcupine.
Okay, Jesus, so
these guys are the Libertarian
Venezuela. Yeah, it's a Free State Project Venezuela.
It's a very large group of a very dedicated activists. They work very closely with the political party Vente Venezuela, but they're advocating for a very strong libertarian message, strong libertarian reforms, and the exit of the regime. Jesus has an amazing story. If you remember, on April 29th of this year, there was a big kind of uprising, and Maduro nearly lost power. And Jesus participated, and he was kidnapped by colectivos. Colectivos are basically a paramilitary gang allied with the regime. Jesus, you want to tell a little bit of your story about what happened?
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
It's a pleasure to meet you. How Kyle said, I'm from Libertarian Movement of Venezuela. And yeah, I was kidnapped in April
29th, right?
30th. And well, that was a very hard day because at 3 p.m. I was in a building and with other friends, and they entered to the building, those Tupamaros. It's a party, in fact, how Carl said, they are paramilitary.
Yeah, paramilitary.
Paramilitary, and they take the in first place. When they find us, they said, hey, here we got the first person who are going to die today. And
they put a pistol to your head.
And they put a pistol to all of us. And wow, I said, well, today was my day. And well, before they separate women and men, and then take us to ¿cómo se dice cuartel?
The jail. The military quarters. Military quarters. Yeah.
They take us there, and there they got, ¿puedes decirle eso? Ellos nos tuvieron entre una hora, entre media hora, una hora.
They had us between 1 and 1.5 hours.
Entonces, pues, cuando la media hora que nos tuvieron ahí, estaba la Guardia Nacional, el Ejército, el Servicio de Inteligencia.
In that half hour they had us there, they brought the National Guard, the service, the intelligence service, and who else?
Were they interrogating you or just trying to intimidate you?
Te hicieron interrogación, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they interrogated him.
And what did they want to know? What was the main thing they wanted? They want to know who was in freaking charge. Where do you get paid? What's your money? Why are you doing this? Why are you being so bad against your, great leader of blah, 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 blah. But what did they primarily want to know?
Esa pregunta, ¿qué quieren saber ellos cuando están interrogándote?
Ah, no, lo primero que pregunta era, que nosotros, they asking us if we have money, they asking us if we are from the USA, if we are loving Trump's lover, sorry. A lot of stupid things, but I think those guys doesn't have brain, man.
Oh, they were just thugs out there enforcing. All right, we'll be right back. More when we come back in just
a
little
bit. The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
Okay, when we come back, after you were interrogated, you were held, it was to what purpose? They just wanted to intimidate. Did they let all of you go? Did they keep you for a certain amount of time? They were just trying to get money from you. What was their reason for taking you and the reason for letting you go?
El pregunté, ¿por qué te secuestraron?
Cuando ellos me tuvieron allá, además, cuando me agarraron el edificio, después que me golpearon y me llevaron un cuartel,
So when they detained me, they also beat me up, they hit me in the face, and go ahead.
Cuando ellos no tienen el cuartel, nos están apuntando con los fusiles de asalto.
And they continually threatened us by putting guns in our face while we were in the military quarters.
Y la cuestión es que yo horas antes estaba con unos compañeros que habían quemado un carro frente al cuartel.
Okay, so an hour before you were with some friends who had burned a car in front of the military quarters.
Entonces ellos me habían visto porque yo no andaba en capuchado.
And they had seen me with them. So
ellos lo que estaban diciendo era que supuestamente que me iban a desaparecer, o sea, nada.
So they said supposedly that they were going to make me disappear.
La cuestión fue que nos salvó una señora que agarró y justamente cuando nos está metiendo al cuartel grabó y nos tomó una foto.
So, but luckily what saved me was there was a lady who took a picture of us as they were taking us into the military quarters.
Y como a la media hora, una hora nos soltaron y después de que nos soltaron todos golpeados, todos poniéndose, o sea, todos.
So after about a half hour to an hour they let us go. All of us were beaten up.
Pero la cuestión es que cuando nos soltaron yo dije, no. O sea, esto nos van a agarrar como si fuésemos como si fuese casa de conejos. O sea, que nos iban a disparar. Y cuando dijeron, o sea, ellos abrieron la puerta del cuartel y dijeron, cuento tres y se van corriendo. Y,
so basically, when they let us go, we thought they were still going to shoot us. So we basically just started running the minute they let us go.
Entonces, después que salimos corriendo, nos,
so where, o sea, were they? Where paramos. Did they take you somewhere?
They took him to the military quarters, so like a military office.
So these and guys then, were like, I don't know, subcontractors, mercenaries for the government, and they just gave him a uniform and a gun and said, go harass people and stuff?
Exactly. There's a group in every city. They call them colectivos. They were started by Chavez and are paramilitary.
All right, here we're coming back. Here we go. Hold on.
To multiple continents, visit fund.lrn.fm today, and thank you for your help. Don't forget to share the link on social media. That's fund.lrn.fm.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I tell you what, there are other people declaring their independence around the world saying, hey, I declare my independence. And there's no government form. See how easy it was? You just did it. And then what? I don't know. You get collected up and taken. Now, what they were explaining to me, Kyle was helping translate. And I appreciate you, you know, trying to give us as much English. At least we know what you sound like, you know. So that's good. But the to make sure that we get all the nuances of what happened, they were protesting, and they have colectivos, which is like mercenaries for the government. They're just thugs. They put a uniform on them, and here's an AK, and they go out, and they collect up people. They bring them back to military bases, beat them up a little bit, slap them around a little bit, threaten them a lot of bit, go in it, and then they'd off them. We're just going to make you disappear. Well, somebody took their picture going in, and they had photographic evidence that they had them. They're like, damn it. We're going to have to let these guys go. So they let them go, boom, and they just running away. They're zigzagging away and hitting the bushes, man, whatever. Get the hell away. We are not moving target practice. And so he survived. And from that, is that what motivated you to go to Colombia? Is from that experience?
Yeah, so la pregunta es, sí, ¿por qué viniste por Colombia? De esta experiencia te cambié cómo y por qué viniste aquí por Colombia por este evento.
No, pues bueno, o sea, prácticamente vine primero por la invitación del doctor Barnes a Cúcuta y con el fin de, pues bueno, no solamente por la invitación, sino también fortalecer y llevar el mensaje de lo que está sucediendo actualmente en Venezuela y compartir con nuestros hermanos colombianos, porque como lo estaba comentando María Alejandra Londoño.
So what he said is he came here thanks to my invitation, but the reason he came is to help strengthen the liberty movement in Venezuela and to help spread ideas and to let the rest of the world know about what's happening in Colombia. Go ahead.
Y pues bueno, o sea, prácticamente como está comentando, fortalecer los lazos, porque la situación de Venezuela no solamente es solo Venezuela, sino es toda Latinoamérica, es todo el mundo, o sea, el socialismo se está expandiendo como un cáncer.
So we need to strengthen the movement because the situation in Venezuela is not just happening to Venezuela, it's affecting all of the Latin America, and socialism is a cancer that's spreading.
Yeah, no, I caught that part. Okay, now this is one thing that's interesting to me, all right? Can you understand a little bit of what I'm saying? Yeah, I got it. Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Well, I'll try and use really simple words. Freedom, good. Government, bad, 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 bad. Okay? Freedom, good. Government, bad. But are you going to try and get freedom with more government, less government, running for parties, changing the Constitution, changing the minds of the people? Is the Constitution and the government, you know, as it was constructed in Venezuela, can have a freedom movement, you know, or do you have to totally erase the government and start over, have none government? You understand my questions, Kyle? What I'm looking for is the solution they're looking for in Venezuela is a social thing, or it's an actual law you got to pass thing, or just get rid of one person and regime thing. What is the solution?
So, la pregunta es, ¿cuál es la solución por Venezuela? ¿Necesita una constitución nueva o se puede seguir con la constitución? ¿Qué tienes que hacer para lograr la libertad de Venezuela?
Bueno, practically Venezuela has 26 constitutions. 26. Can you imagine how a nation can survive with 26 constitutions? I think what the problem in part is it's the constitution, because doesn't respect the property, doesn't respect individuals, doesn't respect anything. But the problem is in part is the society. Okay, society is
accustomed to.
It's accustomed to not have freedom. So they don't believe.
They don't understand what it means. They don't understand what it means.
No. When. O sea, y es fuerte. Y por eso los partidos, tanto los partidos y los movimientos liberales.
Dile en inglés. It's strong, and that's why the liberal parties and the libertarian parties.
And
the libertarian.
Y movimientos libertarios se tienen.
Focus not only on finding an immediate solution, but on creating a plan for moving forward.
This is a and the plan is what?
Pero, we have Glenn. O sea, la solución venezolana. No.
The solution is we have to focus on education.
Hey, Jacek, go ahead and kill your video because it's taking up their bandwidth. Jacek, can you kill your video? Can you hear me, Jacek? Hello.
Yeah, hi. No, he means Jacek. Jacek is on the call.
I texted Jacek and I said, join and say hello.
Yeah, Jacek, can you hear me? Jacek. I'm gonna delete you. I'm gonna push the button. I'm stopping this video. All right. So this is one thing that I wanna make sure that the audience understands as we're going into this. The solution for Language of Liberty, for what we do, all the stuff that we've done has always been that, you know, young people in other countries, everybody, understand the power of freedom. You know, its motivations, you know, how peaceful it is, how prosperity is and a fertile ground, you know, in liberty. I'm wondering if there is it's that just to educate people. Or is it you're trying to get activists to rise up for what? If they don't know for what, like in America, the revolution, you know, Common Cause, you know, by Thomas Paine, you know, the cause. They had a book they went around with, you know, in the revolution, you know, for the cause. What cause? So when you're in Venezuela, for the cause, what's the cause?
So la pregunta es, did you understand? La pregunta es que si es solamente educación o tenemos que tener activistas que están subiendo por una causa. ¿Cuál es la causa? ¿Cuál es lo que estás usando para llamar al pueblo para salir y luchar?
Ayuda. Efectivamente todos, o sea, los activistas, no solamente los de movimientos libertarios, sino los de 20 y los de otros partidos.
Okay, so we're getting a group of activists that's not only 20, so not only a movement, the libertarian movement, but also 20 Venezuela, the political party.
Okay, entonces efectivamente, sí, la causa es algo que todos tenemos, todos los libertarios, liberales, anarcocapitalistas y minarquistas tenemos en común.
The cause is something that all libertarians, classical liberals, anarcho-capitalists have in common, and that's freedom.
O sea, libertad, y cuando obviamente tú tienes un gobierno excesivamente grande, cuando te están interviniendo tu libertad, cuando violan tu derecho a la propiedad.
When you have a government that's excessively large, when they're violating your individual liberty, when they're violating your property right.
O sea, tú tienes que salir adelante y tener la gallardía de decir, aquí se acabó, o sea, por lo menos levantar la voz y decir, vamos.
Oh, so you have to have the strength to go out, go forth and fight, and you have to say, right here, this stops, we're going to fight.
Okay, I'm with you, but now here's my question. You know, fight for national health care? Are you going to have some big safety net? Is there some, you know, social security thing? Does everybody get to have a doctor for free? You see my point. Freedom comes with a whole bunch of responsibility. You know, where are you guys at on these issues? Ask them, Kyle.
So la libertad viene con responsabilidad. Y cómo se ve el pueblo venezolano en términos de salud gratis, de educación gratis, esas cosas que están pidiendo este tipo de cosas del pueblo.
Yeah, bueno, muchos programas de gratis o no.
Ahorita estamos tratando, más que todo, también de enfocarnos en enseñarle a las personas de que esa educación, que educación, salud y X servicios que están pidiendo gratuitos es que no son gratuitos, sino vienen del impuesto.
So we're trying to teach the community that when you get free things, they aren't actually free, that they come at a huge cost of taxes.
Entonces, a partir de ahí, o sea, todos los servicios que tú acabas de mencionar, o sea, serán muy gratuitos y todo, pero son paupérrimos, o sea, son malísimos.
So all of these services are free in Venezuela right now, but they're horrible. They're of really low quality.
All right. When we come back, we'll go ahead and get some more of the young men and women there to explain it to us. I think you did a great job. Thank you very much. And thank you for translating. You know, I think you did a lot better job than you think. You know, what we're going to go ahead and do, get some more perspective when we come back in just a little bit. Okay, can Yasik hear me or not?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Well, I know you can, but I got Yasik Spindle up there.
Oh.
You know, so Yasik came in. Got, all right, Yasik, you're just listening or whatever. Go listen on the stream, you know? You're sucking up bandwidth if you're not going to play. Ah, whatever. All right, Kyle, so who do you want to bring up next?
Let's bring Luis Ojeda.
Hello.
Hi, Luis. All right, so Luis Ojeda, do you speak English well enough? You need a translator or what?
Well, I speak a little bit of English. How are you?
I'm more than wonderful, and you?
Hello, Ernie. This is Yatek. Do you hear me?
I'm pretty good.
Yes, I do. Do you finally find a button to push or something?
What?
Yes.
Okay, you're sucking up bandwidth. Are you going to participate?
Yes, if you can give me a few minutes, it'll be great.
Well, it better be freaking great. You're sucking up all my bandwidth, you know? So, so when we come back, I'll go ahead and give Yasik, a better part of the first segment, and then we'll go to Louise's next, okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
All right. So when we come back, we'll give Yasik something to say, and then we'll get to you, Luis. But let's go ahead and talk now for a little bit. This is being recorded and archived. It's not on the live show, but it's being live streamed, and it's going to be part of the video archive. Okay? So, you know, all of this conversation makes it into the archive. Now, so, Luis, you're what? You know, you came from Venezuela?
Yes, I came from Venezuela.
When did you cross over the border?
I crossed the border, I think, on Saturday.
Saturday, yeah.
Saturday morning.
Okay, did you come with a bunch of people just to come to this meeting?
Yes, we came.
Are you going to go back to Venezuela?
Yes, we're going back to Venezuela in, I think, an hour. Just an hour to come back to the hell.
And then you're going to go back to where? To do what? Your homes? You got a camp? You're living in the jungle? You know, you're under a bridge down by the river or what?
I didn't understand.
Yeah, he's asking you're going back home.
Yes, we are going back home. We are going to arrive home at least, I think.
Are there activists such as yourself that are being visited by the government?
Are there activists? Hay activistas que se han visitado por agentes del régimen?
Yes, of course. I have been arrested by the government. I was in a persecution. You know, they just intervened know how to say.
Dile en español.
Ellos intervienen.
They intervened.
They intervened the cell phones.
They listened to your cell phone.
Yes, they listened to our singing in the streets. And I have been stopped by the police.
Okay, why are they not, you know, charging you? Why aren't they keeping you in prison? Why aren't they shooting you? Why aren't they? I mean, it's not like they, you know, haven't shown their propensity for it. I mean,
I think I haven't been arrested for a long time because I haven't been kept in jail because I'm not a big objective of the dictatorship. I'm just an activist. And I just want to do my stuff. And they want to keep in jail other people more important than me.
Well, who are the people that they want to keep in jail? What makes them important?
Well, I don't know how to explain, but the objectives are
circumstantial.
Circumstantial. They just put in jail the people they want in that moment. Not everyone, just specific people.
The ones who get most attention from the media, the ones who have the ability to organize.
Well, I mean, so. Do they? Of course, but I mean, are they keeping them in jail? Or are there just more activists come to replace them? You take one down and 14 pop up. I mean, you know, what are they up against? What kind of movement are they up against in Venezuela? Because we get a lot of attention, and then we don't get so much attention. We don't learn what's going on. We learn a lot, then it's quiet again. You know, so I'm wondering, you know, is it? That's just our coverage of it here, or is it the activism in Venezuela, you know, going up and down? It's like the Yellow Jackets in Paris. You know, hear about them every weekend, and then like a couple of months go by, and then you hear about another thing. Is it constant in Venezuela? Is there pressure on the government every day or not?
No, our dynamic is very changing because we cannot make activism all the time because we can't go to jail, and it's not the idea. It is keep always in the street, but without being arrested. Okay, so we
in the streets to do what? What do you do in the streets? Chalk sidewalks? You know, what do you do?
Sidewalks? What does it mean?
Oh, he's asking what you. Él está preguntando qué haces cuando estás en la calle haciendo activismo.
Talking to the people. The best way to make activism is talk directly to the people. Because people understand, believe it or not, people understand.
Do you need materials? You know, it's kind of like we have those philosophy, you know, Glenn, you know, the philosophy of liberty that we have translated into Spanish. What if we gave them, you know, 5,000 of them?
Oh, I think they would love that.
Yeah.
They would be able to distribute that and it would go really well.
It could be really, really well.
I need to know the format of the DVD players because sometimes, like in, they have different regional formats. The DVD players only play in a certain language, you know. Because when we did, Tahrir Square, when we did that, we did thousands of DVDs, but we had to do it in the PAL format so that their DVD players would play it, you know.
Okay.
I need to know what the format is for Colombia and Venezuela so that we can produce those. I'd get you something to pass out. That'd piss off everybody.
That's wonderful. We'll find that out for you right away.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we can help if we got somebody to help. You know, we got all kinds of stuff that we're doing, you know, that we're going into the 2020 presidential election cycle. We're producing whole kinds of crap, you know, for here in America, and a lot of it, you know, is translated into Spanish. So, you know, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's regular Spanish, right? I mean, you know, Venezuela and Colombia is like Spanish, right? I mean, I ain't got to do it special.
It is. They have some very unique slang, but yes, it's the same language.
All right, well, that's what we're going to do. All right, we're coming back in about 20 seconds. Let me restart this, and here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me.
I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Please hold on line. We are...
I got two Yasiks up there. Is any one of them working? Yasik, you there? Yasik.
Hello?
Are you there, Yasik?
Oh, he's there.
Yes.
Yes! Okay. You wanted to say something?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do hear you very well. Thank you.
Okay, where are you at?
I am in southwest of Poland, near the city of Wrocław. That's where I live.
All right. Well, we're talking to the Colombian Venezuelan guys. I'll get to them in just a second. But you wanted to say something? Go. Now's your chance. Go, man.
Yeah, definitely. First of all, thank you for having me. And hola, amigos from Colombia and Venezuela. It's amazing that this liberty movement is spreading everywhere, especially to these places that need it the most. And now I want to tell you that a few months ago, I became president of an organization that is dedicating to spreading liberty ideas everywhere in this world. It's called Liberty International. And the listeners, they might know this organization from its previous name. It was called ISIL, International Society for Individual Liberty.
Okay, whoa. And, you're president of that organization now? You know,
yes, Ernie.
Okay. We've had a lot, you know, well, damn it. You know, your organization needs to help me help you get Spanish translations of the philosophy of liberty, because that's where they're housed. You guys got the copies of that all over the place. I need to format in Venezuela for the DVDs, and I'll give you at least 5,000 for them to pass around. So I'm going to be working with you, right?
Yes,
Presidente.
And Kyle Varner. Kyle is our board member as well, so we can do things together.
Okay, I don't got no red tape, no bureaucratic crap. And if I got Presidente here, Kyle there, activists there in Colombia and Venezuela, what the heck is your guys' malfunction, man? I'm ready to get it rock and roll and whatnot. Yeah. You can get this stuff within a freaking week, and we're waiting on Yasik. Oh, I'm sorry. Did say that out loud?
Perfect.
All right, so what's your first as Presidente? What are you going to do for Colombia and Venezuela I can help with? Skip to the end, man.
You know, we actually have the big conference called Liberty International World Conference, you know where? In Colombia, in Medellin. That will be in August 2020. We need Ernest Hancock to come and speak there.
Hell yeah!
And we need as many Venezuelan and Colombian students as possible to participate. And in order to finance it, we need donations.
So, No. I know. This is what's going on. Right here, if you look on, switcher, well, you guys probably don't see, Jacob Hornberger from the Future of Freedom Foundation just announced this weekend that he's running for president as a libertarian. This is a hardcore, here we go, libertarian, going to get some kind of a Ron Paul thing as a libertarian. I've known Bumper for a long time, and he is fluent in Spanish. All of his material is in Spanish, and if he were to go and speak at this thing in August before the election of freedom for Venezuela and Colombia and the world, I don't know if that gets you in trouble as a presidential. He don't care. So I'm just like, this would be awesome. So I would give up my spot for him or go help him or something like that to get. All right, I'm in, man. Let's do it. We're gonna kick butt. That's in good. August.
I think we would love it if Bumper Hornberger could join us at the conference, too.
I think you need to start bugging the crap out of him right now.
There we go. Sounds good to me.
Hell yeah.
God, this is exactly what I've been looking for. You have from a presidential candidate for Libertarian Party. Now, that by that time, we'll know if he gets the nomination or not. He might not even get the nomination. But it doesn't matter. You need him to come speak in Colombia, Venezuela anyway. You know, this is, all right. You're Presidente now, Jacek. Is that what you wanted to tell me? That's good.
I want to tell more because the position is not the most important. I want to tell you that we are having bigger and more projects. I wanted to tell you about that conference in Colombia coming August. And basically, the organizer from the Colombian side, Maria Alejandra Londoño, she's there with the group, with Kyle, Glenn, and the Venezuelan guy. She's doing amazing work. I just wanted to give a big kudos to her. And we're going to have a great conference. What else? I want to tell you that Project Arizona 2020 is going to be amazing. It may maybe the best one ever, for sure the biggest, because we are growing from 6 to 8 students. And among these students, there is a good representation of Latin Americans, including people from Argentina, Bolivia. So we will have a very interesting people, and I want already a book, at least one, if not more, spot at your show when we come to Phoenix this coming winter.
I tell you, one thing that you get me, I'm looking for an intern. I need an intern, broadcast somebody, speak Spanish, and do social media throughout Colombia, Panama, Venezuela, of our version of and the activism that's going into and bumper Jacob Hornberger, Future Freedom Foundation, doing kind of man, do some whip ass. You get me somebody that knows how to do this stuff and, oh my goodness, could speak English and do some producing or whatever. I got a job, okay? So, you know what I need
awesome here.
I'm waiting on you now.
How to travel.
waiting on you now. Okay. All right. Thanks, Jacek.
We're going to be there in January.
All right. January. Well, I tell you what's going to happen. The POTUS 2020 kind of starts in early February in the New Hampshire primaries. And then, of course, it comes right to Arizona. And we're working on a bunch of stuff to make certain issues. Now, I can use some help with that, help me help you help, and we'll talk about it. Davi Barker is going to be coming right after the holidays in early January. We'll be working on some more art, more letters for Letters of Captain Mark. Oh, you guys got to go find Letters of Captain Mark on PiratesWithoutBorders.com. PiratesWithoutBorders.com. We'll hook you all up. And that's another thing. I need to get that translated. So we get that all translated because we have French and Spanish and English versions of PiratesWithoutBorders.com. So this was always intended on being translated and going kicking butt. You got somebody to do that, I got job.
Sounds great. I can't wait to be there again in Arizona.
All right. Rock and roll, whatnot. I keep trying to bring it back to Arizona, but damn it, we just keep influencing worldwide because that's what we do. Hey, thanks for coming on. We're going into the next segment. You want to hang out and listen with us, but I want to get to, I think I was talking to Louise, right? Is that Louise?
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking to Louise. I want to get his story. You want to hang out with us, Jacek, or you got to go?
Are we
going to
go?
Yeah, I go? All right. Hey, thanks for coming on, man, and giving us an update. You Presidente now. Okay, that's cool. Now, we always knew it, International Society for Individual Liberty, ISIL. Well, then when they started calling ISIL after we did the philosophy of liberty in Arabic in Tahrir Square in Egypt, then they started a group of Islamic State ISIL thing. They had to change their name. I go, yeah, that's why they did it, those scumbags. I don't care. It's just whatever. So now they call it whatever the heck they're going to call it, but it's the same thing. Exactly what we're doing here. Language of Liberty, the Students for International Help of Day. We're all the same thing of libertarian. Well, here we got a lot of skills and a lot of people that know how to change a lot of minds. And we're going to do it and show you in Venezuela. Watch. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago,
but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. Pirates! Pirate, 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 pirate. We go all hardcore on this stuff. All right, Louise, when we come back, we're going to go ahead and go right to you. And I want to... What do you want to share with the audience? We kind of got the introduction in the archive to you, but when we come back live in about a minute and a half, what do you want to share with the audience?
Well, I would like to share that this struggle, our struggle in Venezuela, it's more important for the world than we think, okay? We are not just fighting for our freedom. We are fighting for the freedom of all our, for all of our continent. This struggle is going to decide the future of America, okay? I'm not exaggerating when I say we have the responsibility to bring liberty to our countries. And Venezuela is one of the most important countries in America. And if we do not stop the Chavista regime, we're going to lose our continent because they have a lot of power, they have a lot of mafias, they had a lot of things that could get worse in our world, okay? They had a lot of arms and branches of criminal bands, and they're related to Islamic terrorists. They finance groups like FARC and ISIS and Hezbollah, it's right to say. So to take care of Venezuela is very important. So we need you to pay more attention to us. And we...
All right, we are right now. Here we're coming back. Here we go.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. No, he just, man, we got a whole bunch of goodies. We're just sitting here waiting on kind of somebody make use of and go kick some butt. And we got some people. Oh, you need, you don't have any money? You don't have a dollar? I mean, you could change the world. I remember so many times that if I had $200 at just the right time as a poor young activist, I could have changed the world. And then changed it even more with $2,000. $200, $2,000. Always Donna and I, man, if we just had to. Well, then we started getting it. You know, people started going, hey, man, we like what you're doing. Here's a couple of hundred. Here's a couple of thousand. Here's a couple. Go change a couple of million people's minds. Go ahead. Hey, these guys are doing it. They're young and they're aggressive and they want, we just need a little bit of resource, a little bit of print, a little bit of art, a little bit of something, a little bit. I'm going, well, hell, that's all you had to say. I'm all over it. Let's go get some. So I'm going, all right, Luis, tell us, you know, what it is that you got a plan, man, for Venezuela. How are you going to change Venezuela? Is there some law? Is there just minds of people? What's the plan for what you got? I'm investing in stuff that you want to do. What am I getting? What am I getting?
Changing Venezuela is not easy. We had a lot of plans, political plans, educational plans, and we have a lot of things to do first to change my country. First of all is keep the, what happened?
No, nothing, it's just the screen.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I got you. So it's turn off your microphone, Jacek. You're screwing up stuff. All right, go ahead, Luis.
Well, the first things to do is to keep the pressure over the government in order to they to go and leave us alone. And then we need to keep spreading the ideas through the academy, to the colleges, universities, and with the people. We have in Venezuela, I manage kind of conflict that makes some cartoons about ideas of freedom, right? I don't know if I can show you that.
I think we can send him link.
Okay.
Yeah, send me links. Yeah, well, you know, Donna, put them up right now.
Okay.
Send them to Donna. So you know, you guys will know how to send it to Donna. Donna will get them up in the second and third hour archive so everybody can see it. We'll take care of that. Go ahead.
Okay, what we do in politics is to take the idea, the whole idea or a whole topic, and we reduce that topic into short sentences.
Bumper stickers, laptop stickers. Yeah, you know, I got bunches of them. Whatever you need, man. What do you need? What do you need? Send me artwork.
Well, we need some money in order to make our project, in order to go, because we need to expand the public to make more people to understand our ideas. Okay, and I think that it's very important to keep the audience in social media. And we have a lot of, I don't know how to say,
impact.
We have a lot of impact here in Latin America, in Venezuela, Chile, and here in Colombia. We are very well known, but we need to keep growing, and we need to spread this idea.
Luis, I understand the power of this because Glenn will tell you I was you 30 years ago. And my wife and I and family and our friends, we, you know, everything to have an impact on the United States of America, which means the world, you know. And we have just hardcore street activism, fax trees, internet, printed material, banners on highways, running for office, you know, running against people running for office. I mean, we've done all this stuff, have a lot of equipment, have a lot of supplies, have a lot of things that we know are impactful, but we need to have someone local there to do it and that can explain it, you know, the nuances that we need and the translations of it and, you know, some nuances in the culture that you don't want to be offensive and you want to be educating. There's all of these material. We got printing presses and paper cutters and folders and DVD duplicators. I can do 300 to 500 DVDs an hour. An hour. So I'm going, and I got 20,000 sitting over here waiting for me to do something with them. So I'm just like, man, you guys are killing me. All you got to do is you give me a detailed what it is that you're doing and how, where, what can we do to freaking help? Because there's a bunch of liberty activists here that while they're off their butt doing stuff for the 2020 election cycle, we might be able to help you guys a little something to show what we're doing, need to be doing here. So I am freaking all over it. You are not waiting on me. You're not having to convince me. You already got Glenn and Jacek now presidente of the, you know, whatever the hell they call it now, the international, you know, we free people. And I'm going, this is, man, you so lucked out. And you just got to Colombia, what, 3 days ago? Shoot, man. The Lord done blessed you, did he not?
Thanks.
All right, we're gonna work on it. Let me, you know, give you anything else you want to say for the next couple of minutes, then we'll go to the next person in the next segment. Go ahead, Luis. What do you want to share?
Well, I would like to say thanks to all these people that have helped the Venezuelan libertarian movement, like Vente or libertarian movement of Venezuela. You are all important for us. You keep this fight alive. And without you, we cannot make this. So from the bottom of my heart, I am very, very thankful.
Well, this is just people, you know, that we're working for freedom. But, you know, our the Venezuelan government, I'll bet they'll go, well, it's a bunch of American propaganda from the United States of we're getting paid or something. We are not. You know, this is a person-to-person thing. This is a freedom-oriented individual wanting to help free and them understand the definition of what we're even talking about. So is there, or do you even seek U.S. approval or government money, or is it coming? Do some people get it? I mean, what's going on? Is Maduro them right? Is there some U.S. influence, you know, government money doing some other? Because I guarantee, in the end, the United States government is sponsoring anything. They're not sponsoring freedom. They ain't sponsoring freedom. You know, they're sponsoring what they want.
No, we don't receive governmental support from the United States. The money that the United States government gives to the Venezuelan people, it goes to the
government.
The budget, okay? So Vente and libertarian movement of Venezuela do not receive money from the American government. We only receive money from you guys.
All right. Well, we want to help. You know, the Vente, it's, you know, for me, it's 20 what? I mean, what does the title mean?
Vente, it means like, come with us.
Oh, Ven, like Venaki, you know, Vente.
Venaki, yes.
No, okay, I get it. Okay, come with us. So, yeah, okay. It's a conjugation of the verb va, to go, Vente, come. See, I remember my Spanish. All right. When we come back, when we come back, we'll get another volunteer. Luis, thank you. We're going to help. You know, if Glenn knew to contact us, we got you covered, man. We're going to get you all kinds of goodies. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. See, just fun. Just people talking. What's up? I'm sorry.
Oh, we have Maria Bernal on the line, but she's not. She's having technical problems. So
maybe later.
But we can join. But here,
this okay, is, this David.
This is David Torres. Yes.
David. I said it wrong. Okay. So.
Hola, un placer.
Hello. Okay, now you're from where?
¿De dónde vienes?
Soy de Venezuela. Pertenezco al partido Vente Venezuela.
He says, I'm from Venezuela. I'm from the party Vente Venezuela.
Okay. Now, I would like to know more about this party and how it got started. Did you fill out some paperwork? You know, is there, you just put a flyer on a telephone pole or something? You know, I mean, what does that mean?
¿De Vente cuando empezaron y cómo lo empezaron como partido?
Nosotros empezamos en el año 2013.
We started in the year 2013.
Es el único partido liberal que hay en Venezuela en estos momentos. Todos los partidos son socialistas.
It's the only liberal party, and we're talking classical liberal party in Venezuela. All the other parties are socialists.
Okay, wait. You guys have been around for 5-6 years?
Ustedes estaban operando mientras 5 o 6 años.
Sí, tenemos todo este tiempo
infiltrated. There is no way in hell that you're going to be around that long that the government doesn't have somebody in there looking at whatever. Do you guys care? Does it matter? You know, has you had bad experiences? Are you able to, is it a political party that you can run people on the ballot? Is it, you know, I mean, if you've been around that long and being effective and advocating for freedom, the man has got people inside. I guarantee it. So tell me about that.
Él dice que si estaba trabajando tanto tiempo, que obvio que el gobierno va a actuar contra ustedes y que serían infiltradores. Y él quiere saber qué está haciendo el gobierno contra el de Vente y qué tipo de éxito está teniendo Vente en términos de como diputados y las candidatas que están postulándose.
Tenemos diputados a la Asamblea Nacional.
We have deputies in the National Assembly.
Hemos avanzado en la defensa de las ideas de libertad, como el capitalismo, un sistema que promueva la prosperidad y la libertad en el país.
We've advanced, we've made many advances in promoting capitalism and liberty, and that's a system that will create prosperity in our country.
Okay, now deputies, what is deputy? I got deputies in what? What's a deputy?
Like congressmen.
Oh, so they're elected.
Members of the National Assembly. So yes, they're elected. Like a, how Pontus, yeah?
It's kind of like a free state project or something. How you're cutting out.
Oh, sorry.
So you have,
I think we're back.
Okay, do you have like a, it's like a free state project of Venezuela?
No, it's a political party.
Well, you know, that's kind of the free state project. They wanted this social thing, get all these people freedom-oriented, educated, move to New Hampshire, and then they'd run for office, and they get a couple of dozen legislators, you know, out of 400 and whatever. So they have a presence in the government. So you're saying you have a presence in the government as elected officials.
Estás diciendo que tienes una presencia en el gobierno con oficiales del Estado.
No.
Sí, diputado.
Ah, diputado, sí.
Sí, en este momento, sí. Sí, so he said, yes, we have deputies.
Okay. All right, so now
es
in there...
Es importante para nosotros...
So the legislation
es
that they...
Es importante para nosotros que el mundo se...
I'm sorry, what did you say? All right, here, we're coming back. Here we go.
Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Business in Venezuela, Colombia, and Poland, and around the world. This is, see, it's one thing. This is what I've been trying to tell the audience. I'm going, look, this is not a geographic thing. You know, it's a generational thing. You're not looking at this country, that country, this country. That you're looking at this age group, generation next. The next generation coming up and going, God, man, what did we inherit? A bunch of debt and broken down infrastructure, and they want to rule me, and I can't, and you got to always and stuff. I'm going, oh, hell no, that is not. Once you get exposed to libertarian philosophy of you own yourself and the proper role of government, Declaration of Independence. That's why this show is called Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. Do you have to do it with me? No, you can do it by yourself. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? And no government form. There's no geography in this thing. It's a generational mindset. And that's what's happening. That's what we're helping with. That's why these guys know that they can count on me to be part of and help and do something. Because, damn, this is where the revolution starts. It's young people. You got a good tune, music, a little bit of, you know, common cause. You know, you got, I mean, what do they call it? Common Sense by Thomas Paine. You got common sense, man. Just what's the cause? Just, you know, it's the cause. Common, I think I might have said common cause before. It's not that. Common sense. So this rhetoric that you can just use to educate people what should be, it comes down to general public opinion. How can I help with general public opinion in Venezuela? Well, we're going to find out. We got another activist up here. He's going to explain it to us and what we can do. But they already have some elected officials. They got a party. So tell me about this libertarian party in Venezuela. Is there a budget, a headquarters, you know, a candidates, a structure? Tell me about a convention. Tell me about this, you know, party. And does it have the capacity to be president? All right, go.
Sobre 20 Venezuela, en lo que están haciendo ustedes y si tienen la capacidad de ganar y de tomar la presidencia.
Nosotros enfrentamos al régimen criminal de Nicolás Maduro todos los días.
We're confronting the criminal regime of Nicolas Maduro every day.
Es importante primero recuperar la libertad y desmantelar el Estado criminal para recuperar la paz y la libertad, no solamente en el país, sino en la región.
It's important that we confront the regime and recuperate or get back the liberty of our country, not only for the stability of Venezuela, but for the whole region.
Okay, now, wait. I want to ask just one question. The gentleman that Guaido, whatever his name was, that was selected by the United States neocon government, that we're going to use this guy to, you know, based on, so we don't like the other presidents, kind of like an impeachment thing for Trump deal. Were you guys supportive of that, behind that, didn't care about that? You know, was he really representative of freedom, or just another, you know, faction that was going to take over Venezuela? Explain to him my question, if they supported the Guaido guy.
La pregunta es que si ustedes apoyan a Juan Guaido, que él dije que fue selectado por Estados Unidos, y cuál es la relación entre Guaido y la libertad, y Guaido y el Vente.
Juan Guaido tiene que cumplir con su juramento a los venezolanos.
Juan Guaido needs to comply with his promises to the Venezuelans.
Nosotros exigimos a Juan Guaido que se ponga a la altura de la situación que viven los venezolanos. So es urgente salir de Nicolás Maduro ya.
We are urging Juan Guaido to rise to the level that he needs to in order to support the liberty of Venezuela, and it's urgent that he take action to topple Maduro.
Es importante recuperar la libertad para también nosotros poder transformar el país e implementar un sistema distinto al que ha gobernado Venezuela durante mucho tiempo, que es el socialismo.
So it's important that we recuperate our liberty and we implement a political system that's distinct from socialism.
Okay, now wait. How are you going to do that? Is the Constitution of Venezuela one of the 20 whatever of them? You know, is it allows for capitalism or does it require socialism?
Si la Constitución de Venezuela permite capitalismo en este momento o eso requiere socialismo.
Es necesario que luego de que Nicolás Maduro salga de Miraflores exista una constituyente que permita sentar las bases de la libertad.
It's necessary that after Nicolas Maduro leaves Miraflores that they create a constituent assembly to create a new constitution that supports liberty.
I was hoping kind of like, you know, America might, you know, have one, but you know, it's the education of the people. If they don't want liberty, if they don't understand it, you're not going to get it written down and passed on some piece of paper.
Si la gente no entiende y no quiere libertad, no vas a lograrlo. Es importante la educación.
Hemos hecho esfuerzos enormes para formar a los venezolanos sobre las ideas de libertad. Siempre promovemos las ideas de libertad en todos los espacios, en la universidad, en la calle, en las escuelas, en todos los espacios donde podemos llegar nosotros.
So we have done a lot of work to promote the ideas of liberty, always in every space, including in universities and in schools, and we're working every day to promote the ideas of liberty.
Hemos avanzado suficiente en estos 8 años donde enfrentamos al socialismo en el debate de ideas.
We have advanced tremendously during these 8 years of work, and we've advanced a lot in the debate of ideas.
Los venezolanos quieren libertad y, por supuesto, que rechazan el socialismo.
Venezuelans want liberty, and now Venezuelans reject socialism.
Okay, they reject socialism because why? Because it's not working? Or a philosophical thing, self-ownership.
Los venezolanos rechazan el socialismo por los controles, por la pobreza, por la miseria, por lo que estamos viviendo en estos momentos.
Venezuelans are rejecting socialism because of the controls, because of the poverty, because of the hunger, and we're living the consequences of socialism right now.
Es evidente lo que estamos viviendo y todos conocemos lo que realmente representa el socialismo, que es pobreza, miseria y muerte. Y todas las personas que han muerto hoy en Venezuela es por el socialismo.
So people in Venezuela understand because we're living it, and of the misery and the hunger and the poverty and all the people who've died because of socialism. So we understand because we're seeing it with our own eyes in Venezuela.
We are seeing it here as well. We've seen it throughout our history and the history of the world. But there are forces that benefit from it. What do you think that you're up against? It's not just Maduro. It's the people that think like him, the people that want, you know, collective access to all the resources of the people, to the oil, to the mining, to the fishing, to the what they want to control. Do people understand that? Is that something that you got to explain to them, or do they already get it?
¿Quién está beneficiando del sistema socialista? Y si la gente entiende que hay un grupo de gente beneficiando de esto, y entiendes.
Ok. Bueno, a pesar de, digamos que de la cultura socialista, los venezolanos apuestan por trabajar y no depender del Estado, a pesar de la situación que vivimos en estos momentos.
So the Venezuelans want to work and not live at the expense of the state at this point.
Really?
La gente quiere regalías, la gente quiere trabajar y obtener sus cosas a través del trabajo y el esfuerzo.
People don't want gifts. They want to work and obtain their things by means of the work and effort, their own work and effort.
All right, if they understand freedom, then that brings up just something. I'm going to throw, oh, here it comes. He didn't say it. He said it. All right, here it comes. What about gun rights? What about arming themselves? Do they believe that the individual should be able to have a gun?
¿Qué opina el pueblo venezolano sobre la porta de armas? ¿Y qué opina el 20 sobre porta de armas?
En estos momentos es difícil que los venezolanos hablen sobre el porte de armas sin tener libertad o un sistema de justicia que funcione para Venezuela.
In this moment, it's difficult in Venezuela to talk about guns without the liberty to speak and without a functioning justice system.
Creemos además que el individuo tiene la responsabilidad de protegerse a sí mismo, pero debemos recuperar las instituciones en Venezuela, debemos recuperar el Estado de Derecho para poder avanzar en temas como este.
We want to develop the freedom of people to protect themselves, but we need to regain our institutions and the rule of law that protects ourselves, and at that point we'll be able to recuperate the right to bear arms.
Okay, so first you want to make sure that they understand liberty first, and then how to defend it. You know, so see here in America that I, because we went through this, of course, in our revolution, and it's the First Amendment. You know, the right to speak and assemble and petition the government for redress without getting shot. You know, this is for protesting and so on. But then the Second Amendment was there to protect the First Amendment. Without the Second Amendment, there's not really a First Amendment. So I'm wondering where your power comes from, because Maduro sends in more thugs and says, no, you're not allowed to talk. Then what?
Él dice que en Estados Unidos tenemos el primer amendamiento que garantiza derecho de libertad de expresión y el segundo amendamiento que garantiza la derecho de portar de armas, que es para proteger el primer amendamiento. Y en Venezuela, ¿cómo no tienen armas? Venga Maduro, ¿qué opinas en este sistema? ¿O qué poder tiene el pueblo para enfrentar el régimen si no tienen armas?
Claro, sería importante que las personas pudieran defenderse. Si tuviésemos el libre porte de armas, es evidente que Nicolás Maduro no estuviera en el poder en estos momentos.
Yeah, but important when? I mean, when is it going to be, important? I mean, you can't even get to that point unless you have the ability to defend your ability to speak.
Yeah, well, what he said is that if the people of Venezuela right now had the freedom to bear arms, Nicolás Maduro would already be out of power. He's supporting the idea that the people do need the freedom to bear arms.
Well, I mean, yeah, I misunderstood. I jumped in the translation, but the way I get it is that from my perspective, it's always chicken or egg thing, which comes first. Usually it's just the mindset. It's the revolution between the ears. Once you understand that, you know, the gun issue is like a, I don't know if they were Star Trek'd up or not, but it's like a Vulcan mind meld, you know, from Spock into the brain of the people. That's how Maduro, he's not letting you have guns to defend your liberty. It's because he doesn't trust you. He doesn't want you to have liberty. He doesn't want you to defend it. You're an enemy of the state. It's always the state. And I'm just, you know, which comes first, the awareness that you need to defend yourself, or you have to be able to defend yourself to even be able to speak? See, I don't know. We're seeing it played out. But I guarantee the biggest thing is that the people understand that they own themselves, that the whole purpose of government is for defend people being able to defend themselves from all aggression, you know, non-initiation of force. I'm just wondering how that happens. Now, with, you know, the internet and being able to communicate, I can see that just information is so powerful. So I'm willing to help with that. But at some point, it's going to go, yep, everybody, the majority of people want to be left alone, and a couple of guys won't leave them alone. Then what?
Sí, la pregunta esta es que es, estás siguiendo la educación, y en algún punto van a llegar al momento donde la mayoría del
pueblo. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
¿Y qué hacen en este momento?
Okay, we're in the middle of a question here. He's going to answer. Go ahead, Luis.
Bueno, yo creo que es importante David. Que podamos, que se sigan defendiendo las ideas de libertad y aprovechemos todos los espacios que se generan a partir de ahora como Liberty Camp, que es importante.
So I think it's important that we continue promoting these ideas and that we take advantage of every opportunity, like what we just did here with Liberty Camp, because this is very important.
Los venezolanos estamos conscientes de que debemos enfrentar y derrotar el socialismo y no descansamos. Los libertarios, los liberales, no descansamos hasta derrotar el socialismo y derrotar toda esa mafia que existe en Venezuela.
So it's really important that we put all of our effort into defeating socialism, and we cannot rest and we cannot relax until we have finally defeated socialism and in all of Latin America.
Por eso todos los días defendemos las ideas de libertad y las promovemos en todos los espacios.
So for this, we're fighting every day, we're defending liberty, and we're promoting these ideas in every space that we can.
I want to make sure that, let's go, do you have a, thank you, David, very good job, thank you very much. Do we have one more, Jesus, is he available?
We already talked to Jesus.
Okay, so we had David, Jesus, Luis, Miguel.
We had one who had to leave, unfortunately, so.
All right, well, go ahead and stay, hang out with us, David. You know, my thing is that, of course, I understand the logic, the necessity, the understanding of the ability to defend myself, my family, my property, you know, but that doesn't mean that I have to resort to a gun. That doesn't mean that I have to resort to force. If you have to resort to force, usually you already lost because you had to resort to force. If you can just change the minds of the people, then you're about 95% there, you know? But I am just, I don't advocate violence. Violence, it doesn't work. Not because you're not justified, it just doesn't work. Because then even if you win, then what do I got? I got a bunch of guys in charge of the new marble statues and the legislature and pounding, you know, the podium with their gun, you know, going, pay attention to me. Now I got new guys with guns in charge. So I'm not advocating violence or guns. I'm advocating the right of the individual to be able to defend themselves against aggression. That mindset is what's important. Not that they actually do it, because sometimes doing it just empowers the state. So being peaceful is much more powerful in a lot of ways. Just ask Gandhi or Martin Luther King or a lot of the civil rights protests or women's suffrage or what. I mean, you know, you start going violent, you kind of lose a lot there. So I understand that. I am not about saying that you need to arm yourself and rise up. What I am saying is that the mindset that you own yourself and the and anything you give, if the government has guns, well, somebody gave them that authority. Somebody delegated that right to them. Somebody said it was okay. And if it wasn't the people, then who was it? So these are fundamental things that if the people understand, and I know when people living under oppression get exposed to libertarian philosophy, all of a sudden they went, whoa, where the hell's this been all my life? It's not the gun. It's the understanding that you as an individual have the ultimate defensive right to defend your rights and your life and your family and your property. That is what's important. Not having the gun or using the gun, just understanding the rationale. Some people would go the other way. They want to be shot. They want to be martyred. They want to be arrested. They want to be, because they believe it brings attention to what the problem is. You get monks in Vietnam sitting down pouring gasoline over themselves and lighting them on fire. In fact, the Arab Spring that happened started with a guy doing that very thing in Tunisia. It's just, I'm not advocating that. My point is that it's not violence that always starts the most important revolutions. But it may defend the individuals because they're going to come after, the more effective you are, the more they're going to come after or infiltrate. Do you fear, David, do you fear, now I don't expect you to translate all that, you know, but do you fear that the more effective you are, the more dangerous it is for you personally?
Tú tienes miedo que lo más efectivo que estás en la política, lo más peligroso que te llega a ti.
No tengo miedo, estoy claro sobre lo que representa enfrentar a un sistema criminal como lo enfrentamos en estos momentos.
I'm not afraid. I'm very clear in that in my desire to confront this criminal system that I'm confronting, and I'm not afraid.
Mi amor por Venezuela y por la libertad es mucho más grande que el miedo.
My love for Venezuela and for freedom is much bigger than my fear.
That makes you dangerous.
Dice que por eso eres peligroso.
No hay miedo, y por eso es que estamos los jóvenes comprometidos por el cambio y por la libertad en Venezuela, pero comprometidos por acabar el socialismo definitivamente, porque Venezuela y los venezolanos entendieron que esto no funciona y que, por supuesto, apostaremos por un sistema de libertades.
There's no fear for us. We are totally dedicated to the fight for freedom and against socialism, and the Venezuelans understand that socialism doesn't work, and we're going to give everything to achieve
it. Yeah, and are you all taking the same bus back across the border later?
¿Todos van juntos en el mismo autobús atrás de la frontera más tarde?
Sí, vamos a viajar todos juntos a pesar de...
Can you go in separate cars?
So you think we're going all together?
Of course you are. Oh, David, thank you very much. We want to help. Let me talk to Glenn and
nice
Luis.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right, let me talk to Glenn and Kyle. All right. Glenn, Kyle.
Okay.
I mean, are these guys up to speed? Do they really know what they're getting into? You've been around the world, and you know how this really goes. You know, and that's why in Africa and Europe, a lot of times you have to call it, you know, something, entrepreneurship. That's what it was. You don't say capitalist. You don't say, for entrepreneurs and making money for taxes. Yeah, that's it, you know. And they go, yeah, you come on in and teach people about how to be all prosperous so we get a cut. I mean, so it's how you do the word. Do these guys understand the battle on the world stage that they're having and the motivation by a lot of people in all governments for them to fail?
I think they understand the situation really well. You know, they are, this is a group of people who's really smart, really well educated. They read, they are enthusiastic, and they've been at this for years. So they're really immersed in the ideas. They understand the situation with an extremely granular level of precision. And they're so brave and so enthusiastic. I've never seen a group of more enthusiastic people anywhere in the world. They're hungry for liberty in a way that is palpable. And so I have a lot of hope for what they're going to accomplish.
Yes, Ernie, it's been an amazing week. And it's an honor to meet these people.
We recognize these people from history, you know, from our history, from recent and past history and all this kind of heritage stuff. I remember during the Ron Paul campaign of 08, he was saying, look, if we don't do this now, we don't even understand the definition of the words. I mean, you know, that, you know, freedom, justice, and American way or whatever. What the heck is that? So this is them being so educated in libertarian philosophy, which has been the driving force, you know, the common sense, Thomas Paine, kind of what the cause is. I just want to know if they understand the cause. What do you think, Glenn? The cause is what?
Yes, they do understand, at least the ones we've talked to. We haven't had deep conversations with everyone that we've met, but the leaders certainly do seem that, and it's impressive that many of them have not traveled significantly outside the country. It's not like they're world travelers all over Europe and America, but they understand this without having traveled. They understand that the battle in Venezuela is an international battle and part of an international battle, and the solution is universal. The solutions are the universal principles, the liberal principles.
Okay, I am going to do what I can to help. We got a bunch of other stuff that we're working on, but it certainly dovetails, and if we can duplicate some of the effort to help you guys, I'm all over it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up here and send to them. I want them to see this. Philosophy of Libertad. Now, we've done this here in the U.S., and it's with great effect, and I just want to make sure. Gosh darn it, I was typing on the wrong screen. All right, we'll get them all hooked up. Thanks for listening, guys. I tell you, if you go to the live stream, you get some more, and, of course, in the archive, we're going to be planning the revolution of Latin America. I know why. Because we can. According to members of the night. All right, there we go. Now, this is why I was on the wrong keyboard. I got so many freaking keyboards here. All right, hold on a second. Philosophia de la Libertad. Boom. All right. How many people you got in the room there?
Okay, right now it's the three of us. It's right. Kyle and Maria and me.
All right, well, we won't have to go through all this whole thing. But the philosophy of liberty is done here so that, you know, it's online. I would like them to see it, Glenn, to see if this included in some DVDs, and I'm sure they got some other stuff. You send me a file, but I want this included, because the thing is that if they understand it's about owning yourself, the rest is just a mop-up operation. I mean, you know, once you get that, we're done, you know? So this, if you can get a video that's sent to me, or we can, or what they want included in it, we can create DVDs by the thousands for them to distribute. But I need to know the format so that it'll play in their DVD players. If we didn't know that, they've been a whole bunch of these in Egypt and they wouldn't have been able to be played. And it went viral. You know how it went. And I want this to happen again. I've been waiting for someone we've been trying to work with, but they're distracted on other stuff. But these guys seem like street activists. You want to get the people to understand the cause, whatever that is, common sense kind of thing. That's where I dwell. That's where I want to help. That's where we can print up all kinds. We can give them all kinds of stuff. Hell, we laser cut different things and coasters and doing pirates and be all pirated up and translate. Yasek, get me somebody, an intern that can do some translations. We'll do that. We'll kick ass.
Wonderful. Okay. Ernie, I have a couple of questions for you, but I can send them in email.
No, go ahead. I don't care, as long as they're not secret, because it's going out.
Okay, Kyle will be in Phoenix.
The 9th.
Kyle will be in Phoenix November 9th. He's on his way to Wilcox, where he's doing some work in a hospital. But he will have a day free in Phoenix on Friday the 9th.
The 9th of November?
Yes, next Friday, this Friday.
Okay, so, what am I doing? Yeah, you're welcome to come by if you just need a place to hang, but I leave Thursday to go to G. Edward Griffin's event in Nevada.
Okay, so our question is, with all this background about Colombia and especially Venezuela, if you know anybody in Phoenix who might have a special interest, especially contributing funds for, we have many projects which I'll tell you about later, but Kyle is especially interested in meeting potential donors.
The guys with the money to do this kind of stuff would be the discussion group. Hell, you probably know more of the guys with the money than I do. But the, my main thing is that I always have something for them to invest in. It's always, give me the money and I'll build it. And I'll go, hell, I built it. Now come give me the money. I mean, so this is, I'm more about, just helping and do it and kind of, I don't want to talk about it. What do you guys need? All right, here's how we can do it. Here's a bunch of stuff. Go do it. Peace out. I just give somebody money. I never see what happens with it, So.
Yes. What you've already suggested, what you've already offered is really great. I think it sounds like the perfect thing at the perfect time.
I do too. Let's do it. Wait on you now.
Our challenge is going to be getting the DVDs into Venezuela. We're going to have to use a group that takes things across the border via an irregular route.
But even better. It's cooler as hell.
But we'll bring the DVDs to Colombia, bring them to the border, and we'll get them into the hands of the activists. And then they'll spread out throughout the country, and they'll all get distributed in their street events.
Are QR codes used? I mean, they have smartphones there and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, we're all about one of the things that we did is about the size of a door, and it had a bunch of cut bumper stickers on it, and we had QR codes at various different sizes, to the point that you put it in, all the porta johns at events, you put it in the high rise bathroom on the the john on the meter for parking, you put it at the bus station. I mean, all these QR codes with saying, silly status, taxes are for slaves, whatever the heck, all of these QR codes, you go blip and it goes to a site. If I had those back in the 90s when I was doing the activism that you guys are doing, I'd been a force to be reckoned with just on that. I mean, be a pain in the butt. So
do something like that. Absolutely. And I mean, we can put these in different things in the walls, in the bathroom, in the metro,
so,
in the rock.
So what do I, what I need to do? Send you money? Hell no. What I need is you guys to give me the artwork, whatever it is that you want. We do it, go to Liberty Stickers, a guy that we know here is, friendly towards the Lovelution. And we say, hey man, this is what kind of deal can we get? Boom! And you get thousands of these that you can just distribute and you're sending people to whatever. It's like, these stickers, I got laptop stickers coming out my butt, but you might want to just, put them, you have okay, this is what we do. You have, where are people sitting that they have their smartphone with them and they got nothing else to do, okay? They're either sitting at a train station, a bus station, they're, a lot of times they're in a toilet or filling up their car with gas. So here, here, I guess more people probably have cars, but we have every single gas pump had these QR, silly status, taxes are for slaves, or whatever the hell you want to put it, Viva La, who gives a crap? And you put that up there, and while they're sitting there filling up their car, blip. I got old style timey activism. We can get you packages of stuff, but like we did with Tahrir Square, it cost us hundreds of dollars just to ship it to Alexandria for them to take it into Tahrir. So I'm just, so I understand, but I need people that I can help. And it's directly with me, Glenn. I am not sending money or going to get and give money and kind of sort and made. No. This is what we did. I need $250.16 to ship it, and we do it, and they go, boom, boom, got it, send it, you got it, done. Next. Send them to a place where they can donate to you. Create your own revenue stream there, and we'll help with that. But just sending money, that's just not me. I send actual stuff that I know is going to be useful.
Understood. We'll figure this out. We'll be in touch in the next couple of days, and we'll figure out the way to do that. What it's probably going to be is like, I'll be able to bring a suitcase full of this when I come to Colombia next time, which should be next month.
Maybe.
because I'm coming more or less every month, maybe every other, because I'm working at the border here as a
a volunteer physician.
Well, coordinate with Yasik. He's got, I mean, he needs to be shopping for an intern that can do social media, speaks English well and Spanish, and I can intern. I get him to work on this, and, you know, I'll pay him a little something, 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 you know, give him something, you know. But this really just having the resources and the base and the time to come here and sit here and do the activism with people that know activism and got activist and being active.
Wonderful. I'm so happy we got to talk about this.
Yeah, no, I, you know, of course, I want to get what I want and be paying, you know, so I need some producing help or doing, and it's to integrate, you know, what we do with the Hispanic community, because we have, you know, Freemus Phoenix is translated into like 39 languages. I mean, you know, it's not like I can't do it, you know, it's not like we haven't done this before, you know, I'm not willing to just, you know what I'm willing to do, you know, Glenn. You know, I'm. We'll get some, but I need some activists. And it looks like you're tapping into some at a really good place at a really good time. Venezuela, Colombia, on the board there with people that not. This is amazing, and we have a lot of contacts in Panama that have, you know, their own version and vision of what's going on in Latin America. But the big thing to me is down to the individual. If you can get the individual inspired. You know, that they have material, that there's something, there's a cause that they're pushing, and it's consistent, then we can have, you know, people here in America. Hell, you know Jacob Hornberger, don't you, Glenn?
Yeah, we've met, yes.
Well, you know what he represents and who he is. I mean, him running for Libertarian president and speaking Spanish, I think you might get a trip out of him, you know what I mean?
Sounds good to me.
I'm like, oh... You guys, you're killing me, man. It's right there. I can taste it. I will get some. All right. So I want to help.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for bringing the guys on.
Thanks so much, Ernie.
Yeah, Maria, it was great meeting you. You know, and Kyle, Glenn, it's always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to help, and I'm going to forget about 90% of what we just said 5 minutes from now when I go on to another project. So you got to help me do that. But I tell you, you know, Yasik. And you guys work together and you get somebody, one of these got something, but I need somebody smart and capable of doing social media, speaks English and Spanish. You give me that person that's, you know, got, you know, libertarian, smart individual, it's a hard worker, man, I'll show you what's up.
Great.
All right, wonderful.
Wonderful.
Okay,
it's
been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks, guys. Peace.
We're off to the border. See you soon.
Good luck. Send me a text or something. Don't leave me hanging. Okay. I find out a month from now you guys are in some unmarked grave or something. I mean, you know, come on. You know, keep me informed, all right?
You do. Thanks.
All right. Peace, guys.
Peace.
All right. I got to pack my bags here and get.
All right. Bye.